Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up this week?
Hi, groomers. Hi, Barbara. I'm still snowbound here in the lovely Pacific Northwest. Welcome to episode 200 of The Groom Pod, recorded on February 17th, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, South Park, Show Season, Stasco, and Evolution Shears. As you guys can hear, my voice is weirding out, so you'll just have to live with it. I'm a little gravelly today. And in today's show, we're going to be talking a couple questions from Facebook. We'll learn about Stereolites and the Virbac shampoo. And if we make it that far, we're going to talk sitting while grooming. All right, Barbara. I know you have had an extremely eventful week compared to mine, sitting here getting snowed in. The only thing that really happened to me is the dryer replacement came from Andis, and I was using it. Very nice dryer.
Oh, good.
I can tell the difference between that little puny, tiny fold-up. Even though it has the same power, it doesn't have the same CFMs. I can tell is that little one just doesn't blow as hard as the big one does, but it is very light, and it's got settings for heat and no heat and lots of air and middle size air, and it's a decent dryer. So I appreciate Andis sending it to me, and I sent them pictures of the incident and sent the dryer back to them. So hopefully that'll help them in their R&D department, and I'm fine. So I'm glad that I got a new dryer. But other than that, I'm still stranded at home. I've now rescheduled 14 days of grooming.
God. That's unfortunate.
It's Mother Nature. What am I going to do? You know, the unfortunate part is I have a theater day scheduled next month for a Saturday, and Saturdays, they come at a high cost. So I've got one Saturday screwed up by the theater day. I've got another Saturday screwed up by the Northwest Grooming Show, and then the two in the middle, I'm on the cruise. So I really have no Saturdays and a whole week less to reschedule people in March.
Oh, my God. That's an exactly nightmare. Jesus.
Yeah. I have told people that I won't be offended if they go somewhere else, and everybody's like, no, no, we'll wait for you. Darn. Gosh, please go somewhere else just once. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's challenging. It's too bad you're not up here, Barbara. You could certainly help me out. God.
Yeah, God, I wish you were here to help me out.
Yeah, so tell me about it.
So listen, I have a really difficult thing to talk about, a sad event.
Okay.
That did not involve me, but it's really upsetting me. And we lost another client dog. This was Kiko, and she was a little Bichon mix and belonged to this rather messed up old lady. Messed up. Funny I should choose that word.
Okay, calling the kettle black.
Yeah, okay. So let's just call her a kind of a high maintenance client. And the problem that I have with the client is that she tends to bring in a lot of negativity. And so lately she's been, you know, like getting curb service so that I don't have to encounter her. And it helps her because she's like pretty disabled. That's what I meant by messed up.
That's actually a great way to solve that.
Yeah, it does solve that. It's perfect. So then I don't have to be bummed out and brought down. But now I'm ultimately brought down because she emailed me that she had to euthanize the dog.
How old was the dog?
Oh, like 5 or 6 years old. I'm thinking, what? And so what happened, Susie, is that 4 days after she allowed the vet to talk her into a rabies shot against her neighbor warning her against the rabies shot, She got the rabies shot, and 4 days later, she went into massive seizures, spent overnight at the vet. They couldn't control them. Nothing worked. They had to euthanize the dog. No one can say for sure, without spending a lot of money, that the rabies shot caused the death. But the dog had never had another neurological incident. No seizures. You know, the dog wasn't totally normal. She was a little touchy and a little weird. But she wasn't, she had no neurological sense. She was a bright little dog. The woman loved her. A week before that, the woman lost her 14-year-old German Shepherd dog.
Oh, boy, that's a rough one.
Oh, boy, you know, and then being in the week after she lost her German Shepherd dog, she started doing the right thing for her little Bichon, and she takes him to the vet to get up to date on the shots, gets a rabies shot, has grand mal seizures all night on the fourth night, and ends up being put to sleep. I'm heartbroken and I'm dismayed. And what the fuck is going on with these vaccinations? And now I'm kind of justified in my apprehension about giving my Maltese Marco a rabies shot after I adopted him, when I wasn't sure how far long ago he had had one.
From the veterinary aspect, if the animal is going to have a reaction to a vaccine, it's going to happen within 48 hours of that
vaccine.
That's
not true with
this. Really?
That's okay. Not true, Susie. Okay. I read up on it. I got online. It takes time for the antibodies to build up to the point of causing the neurological damage.
Oh, that's awful.
Okay.
There's an alternative, is you can do a titer test. That's a way to not have to do a rabies, because rabies is the law here.
Yeah, I know. And I wish she would have called me and allowed me to talk to her about that decision.
You know, 5 years old, a dog, did she know the history of the dog? Had the dog been vaccinated?
No.
Yeah, then I would have done the titer.
She didn't know the history. She got the dog off Craigslist.
Yeah.
After another one that she adopted died within the first week. This woman has a shit life. What can I say? It's horrible things happened to her.
And what and did now, the first dog die of?
It died at the vet. I think it needed a dental job, and it died at the vet.
That poor lady.
I know.
Well, absolutely justifies the need for a tighter exemption. But there's lots of dogs that get vaccinated and are fine. There's always the weird dog, the dog that's just not quite right, that you just don't feel like vaccinating is necessarily the right solution for sometimes. Like a dog like Marco, where you don't know the history at all. You don't want to throw a vaccine right on top of another vaccine. That's not good. So yeah, titers. Do your titers, people.
I was glad to hear when my friend Meredith came in to check in on me, and she has a little dachshund mix that she adopted, and she goes to a veterinary clinic that's a kind of a cheaper clinic, and it's a affordable vaccine focused ABC vet clinic. And she goes there, and you know what? They told her they think this too much vaccination going on.
Oh, I do too. Absolutely.
And they make their living off of it. And they think that we're over vaccinating our pets. So it was good to have the one vet at least balancing the opinion of the other vet who's pushing her to get her rabies vaccine, especially that damn rabies vaccine. If you're not going to license them, don't.
Yeah, my vet as well. He doesn't push that stuff. He is, especially on dogs over 5 years old.
There have been tests. Science has been done that affirms that in most cases, the rabies shot is good for the lifetime of the pet. It's good for like 8 years at least. Firmly 8 years. And it was only as a result of that science that they boosted it in some states from 1 year to 3 years.
We're a three-year state.
We're a three-year state, too. And I got Marcos vaccinated and licensed because I have to have his license in case he bites somebody else again.
Lesson learned.
Right. I don't want to get caught in that little thing. But I haven't done the others. And I really don't want to do the other Maltese because she's undersized and seems to have some kind of a liver problem.
She's exactly the kind of dog you shouldn't do.
You shouldn't vaccine. But, you know, like groomers, Google rabies vaccines and seizures and see what you get.
Well, I don't require vaccines to be groomed in my trailer, that's for sure.
And this is another thing I'm really scared that legislation is going to start happening, that it's going to put requirements on us to be the vaccination police.
Yeah, I don't want to get involved in that.
It wasn't that a part of what was being tossed around with that New Jersey law that was so problematic that they were going to require groomers in order to keep their license. They were going to require groomers to require vaccination records on every single dog you groom.
I seem to recall something about that. I don't know. I don't think it's our job. I don't think it should be our job. I think that's a veterinary thing.
And I think that the current state of affairs is atrocious. Google pet vaccinations and reactions.
Yeah.
It's a lot of allergic reactions. A lot of dogs that get chronic allergies. It could be related to those rabies vaccines. I tried to talk to one vet about why is it the same dose of rabies vaccine for a Chihuahua as it is for a Mastiff?
Seems a little excessive. Well, I'm really sorry you had to go through that. Nobody wants to go through that. And I'm sorry your client went through that. Even if she is wacky or has some high maintenance issues, nobody deserves to lose three dogs like that. Boom, boom, boom.
She did the best she could for that dog. And I'm speaking about the event in one way, but I emailed her and told her to take herself off the hook because she never could be sure. If you never can be sure, give yourself the break. That's what I say, you know?
I agree.
And we don't know. Said she was a good parent and, you know, you've got to help these people, but I didn't. I didn't invite her to come in. She said in her email, maybe I'll come by someday so I can hold your Bichon and pet her. And I did not invite her to do that.
Very smart, Barbara.
Sorry, there's a line.
Well, hopefully doing the groom pod this morning will break you out of your doldrums and your sadness. But if I know you, I bet you're diffusing something interesting in your diffuser.
What am I diffusing today?
Yeah.
Well, I'm diffusing the clary sage from last week. And, it's not the same clary sage because I diffused it already. And I'm mixing it this week with copaiba.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember, I know. I thought, for some reason, it just clicked on me that I wonder what those two would be like. And you know what? It's lovely. It's lovely. The clary sage does something to the copaiba. They go well together. That's what I can say. Okay. You'll never find that combination listed as, you know, blends well with.
Right.
But those two, clary sage and copaiba, are a good couple.
I like it.
They marry well.
So anything exciting in the grooming room for you?
I had an interesting private message from one of my Facebook friends who is a breeder of beautiful red-coated, long-haired golden doodles in Northern California. She sends me pictures of her and the greenery and the red dogs. Oh, man. She gets beautiful pictures of her dogs. And she is attached to those 4-inch coats. So she's been picking my brains for years because she discovered that all the groomers in the area would freak out when she brought a dog in the groom and didn't want it shaved. because all they would do is shave. So, you know, I happen to know that probably that's all they could do.
Isn't that the truth?
So, but I've been corresponding with her.
Are you coaching her, kind of?
Yeah, kind of coaching her and helping her get the right equipment. You know, she had too wimpy a dryer. She really needed to get the Canine 2 dryer and have enough oomph there to make a difference. And she got a lip system. I've been coaching her about equipment and comparing this and that and products and this and that and techniques. And she really wanted me to do a video.
Sure.
So, let me stop everything right now. Well, I got a message from her and she said, well, can you give me some tips on what I can do with a giant golden long-haired doodle that bucks and snorts and rears up? Oh, God, I'm picturing it. You know, I don't care how many doodles she's bred. She's a novice.
Yeah.
You know? And she said that they wrestled with this. They did one dog yesterday. They wrestled with it so much that her daughter, who helps her out, doesn't want to groom anymore.
Oh, that's no good.
Oh, that's no good. So, you know, I made a number of suggestions, including that she look into getting a groomer's helper.
Yeah.
Because you can't just keep, you reach up and push the dog back down to the table. You can't do that. You know, she says any time she gets near a leg, he's up and over her head, you know. Well, they need a groomer's helper. So I sent her to the groomer's helper thing, and I also sent her a pin picture of the do-it-yourself knockoff groomer's helper with a clamp and a big clip. So that was one thing. And I said, there are some dogs that are just not well suited to handle a 4-inch coat. And if the dog is super sensitive, you've got to respect that there's something going on there.
So she calls her dogs long-haired doodles, right?
Yeah, she calls her dogs long-haired doodles because she's so attached to that look. I mean, she's got the look. She's breeds for the look. You know, she breeds for good long coats and that shaggy, drop-coated look. And here's this dog. It can't stand the blow dryer.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so I recommend a handheld dryer because I know she doesn't have any more foot room. It's all taken up. She's got no space to put a stand dryer or anything like that. I kind of know by now what her limitations are. So I suggested that she might get a handheld dryer. I said, you know, like sometimes you can desensitize these dogs using treats. If it's treat motivated dog, but in order to do that properly, you really have to understand operant conditioning and become a dog trainer.
I'm going to go with this suggestion. Peanut butter all over the front of the lips. And just let him lick the peanut butter off and do the head last.
Well, it isn't the head, it's the legs.
Well, no, I'm thinking if the dog is distracted at licking, that maybe she can get the legs. I mean, peanut butter is a pretty good draw.
I'll recommend that. She's working at home. Certainly, she's got a daughter. She's got a jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I was thinking of making peanut butter popsicles.
Yeah.
Making peanut butter popsicles so that it's peanut butter and it's frozen and it's on a stick. And you can hold it like this, and then you can brush with the other hand, right?
I like it.
Or one person, the assistant, can hold the peanut butter popsicle right in front of the dog at the exact height you want it, and then you can go to town. So that's one thing. But, you know, I did suggest that for this one dog, it might be a dog that would be better suited to be a short-coated doodle. You know, I know this is going to rub you the wrong way, but maybe this one should be shaved down. Here's the deal. It doesn't have to be short-coated forever. But if you want to regroup, something's got to give here.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Something has to change. I said some groomers would insist that the dog be brought in totally combed out and mat free, and then they'll work on the coat for you. You have that option. I said you have the option of just declining service. You don't have to do every doodle in Marin County. You're an at-home groomer. You don't have to take responsibility. But her response to that was she would be afraid. I know this fear. She would be afraid that the dog would go somewhere where it would be abused because of its behavior. Well, I understand that fear, but that's why you get to know some groomers in your area so you can, you know, can have somebody to send to.
Right, or that dog comes to me and is treated with respect and has an opinion and gets past it because he runs into somebody who's confident and has all the equipment. So you just never know. You can't project too much of that stuff out there. There are lots of groomers who can handle this stuff and some groomers who can't, you know. And she's a home groomer who's grooming. Did she breed this dog?
I'm not sure. We didn't get into that.
Yeah, because that could be another level of responsibility that could be playing on her, is that maybe it was a dog that she bred that's wacky. But they also have a certain amount of these guys go through a really challenging, especially if it's a male, challenging period where they fight everything you want to do. I've got one going through it right now, but I'm convinced he'll be fine after we get through it. It's like the terrible twos for kids, I think, since I've never had one. I don't really know that, but it is rumored. I know it is in parrots. It can be a rough few years when they go through some changes in their hormonal behavior. And I think that the dogs test us, and I think they test what we do, and some people can handle it and other people, it just then makes it a worse problem as the dog goes along.
It's also important to recognize that stress can be deadly.
Yes.
And if the animal is rearing up and bucking and freaking out about the dryer and the brush, that can be deadly.
Yes.
And you have to recognize that the dog is not being, dogs are never overly dramatic. They are what they are. They are what they are. You know,
yes.
Some are more sensitive than others. Some of them have better expressions than others. You know, they kind of have a luckier sort of palette to draw from in whiny, cryy, pitiful behaviors. They can work us, but the chances are with something that's violent, a violent reaction is usually a stress response.
Yeah, you don't want to power through that.
You don't want to power through that. That's right. Either you got to stop that. There are some dogs that just can't be that carefully restrained. Some dogs respond to the restraint immediately and, okay, I get it. And others, it will take them all the way out, you know.
Yeah. So you've got to read the dog. Some dogs, yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that having the right kind of a setup on her lips will help by being able to tie the head to the pole, because the dogs cannot rear up if they can't throw their head up.
That's,
you know,
right.
They just can't do that. They can dance, and good luck with that. Yeah, because she says that even when she holds up one foot to brush the other foot, the dog just goes up in the air all the way. So the dog is very sensitive. I think he needs to be, if it were me, I would recommend that they allow me to clip it down, and then they start a desensitizing program where they brush the dog before it ever needs it, and get it used to having a brush on its skin, and treat it.
And get some hair dryer time that doesn't take, you know, an hour and a half to dry, so that the dog gets the blow dryer for 20 minutes and then it's over and it's not quite as traumatic an experience.
Yeah, see, so that's where I would go. There's also the possibility of getting the dog sedated.
I wouldn't do that. I think it's finding the right fit.
But it really worked with Milton.
Right, but you tried a billion different things before you got there. I would like to know that she has done that, before she goes straight to medications. Because it's a little bit like people. There's a part of life that's called ordinary misery. And we now have decided that we should medicate past that. And now we don't know how to deal with ordinary misery. It's a challenge. We don't want to end up with a dog who has been medicated past the time where he learns how to deal with grooming. I don't know how old is the dog. Do we know?
I don't know.
Yeah. If it's an older dog, if it's past 2 or 3 years old, medicate the crap out of that dog. No, I'm kidding. But yeah. It definitely has its place. So I wanted to tell you, Barbara, that I did an interview with Mary Aquendo for her Petpreneurs.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it was really fun. And I'm not sure how it turned out. But you guys, I'm interview number 11. Did you do an interview?
Yes, I think I was like number 2 or 3. I don't know. I was right up there.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look up your number because I didn't see it go through yet. But so anyway, I wanted to tell everybody that if they wanted to hear me ramble on and talk about basically nothing, that you can do that either here or at number 11 on the Petpreneurs.
If you just can't get enough of that Susie stuff.
God. Yeah, you can get all me for a whole like half an hour. Then I wanted to thank all of our subscribers to the Patreon account. Thank you very much for supporting us. If you guys are interested in that, there's a link to that on our website at thegroompod.com. Also, the donation button is there and the all-important Amazon click-through banner. If you're going to do any shopping on Amazon, if you go to our website and use the banner, then it supports the show. I just got a $600 bill for the hosting for this year. I got a credit card bill that I had just paid off and I went, what the heck? How come there's a credit? And they had run it through the auto. Yeah. So surprise, I got to get to paying that. And so I wanted to thank you guys for being so supportive. All right. Quick word from our sponsor. And then we will be back with a couple of Facebook questions. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So the first question we're going to talk through, does speed dry work and how does it work and why does it work and is the spray better than the shampoo? Or is the shampoo better than the spray? And Barbara, you ended up contacting Sandy about this, so I wanted to know what she had to say.
The question that I forwarded to Sandy at Show Season was, is it best to do the shampoo, the spray, or both? And she said, if it's serious speed drying that you want, if it's a serious situation, use the spray after the bath. And if, and it's okay to do both. It's not gonna, they're really, I don't know what her ingredient is. You know, the whole, the technology of the speed dry products is that there's a surfactant out there that's common to some other industries that happens to act in such a way as to encourage water removal from hair or a substrate. And well, it's a surfactant. We know it's a surfactant, but I don't know what surfactant, and it's a very tightly held industry secret. It's one thing that all these companies sort of agree on is that we'll never tell them what's in the speed dry products. Yeah.
I have always been a proponent of both the shampoo and the spray, but I see people all the time talking about using vinegar as a rinse to help drying. Why would that help dry?
Vinegar is an acidifier, so it helps to tighten hair cuticle, the outer hair cuticle. Water sheets off it faster. Silicone is another substance that really speeds up drying, again, by creating a slick surface that allows water to be removed faster. So all of these, the speeding of the drying depends on forced drying.
Right, you know, right.
It assists. This is a forced dry assistant. If you're cage drying, it's not going to help. And the other thing to know about show season speed dry shampoo is that the shampoo itself can be used as an additive with other shampoos to create the quick dry effect.
I saw that they actually sell a gallon of additive. That what you just pour it in with something else, and then that shampoo becomes a little quicker to dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
You see, I wonder what would happen if you added it to the conditioner. You really want the speed dry ingredients to kind of go on last. So if you're conditioning, you want to use the spray. If you're bathing without conditioner, you can use the shampoo. Or if you're using a conditioning shampoo, yeah, I wish I knew the ingredients so I could muse over how it will act with others. But I have no idea what it is.
So oftentimes I'll forget to use the speed dry, and then that I use the spray on speed dry. That works really well. But there's something else that I use with regularity that really helps in drying the coat. That's Results Rinse. I have noticed Results Rinse is really good at helping me dry the coats fast.
That's because it's an acidifier. It's like the vinegar, only it's a citric acid based rinse. And it has a little bit of dimethicone or silicone in it. So it's kind of a two-punch solution to use as a final rinse on coats. Any silicone combined with an acidity improves the drying time.
I use my silicone spray after I'm done before I dry. That's helping a little bit too then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I think that's good for that question. Let's do the other question. That one's the question about express grooming. This lady wants to add express grooming to her shop, and she's kind of wondering about how that works. And I basically, as a mobile groomer, do all of my grooms as express grooms. I think that one of the things that you need to be aware of when you're doing express grooms as a service in a salon that has previously or is going to continue to do regular service is you need to really define what your express service is. Because if people think express service means no cages in your salon, it may not necessarily mean no cages. You need to kind of put that out there so there's no misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have a new client coming, I think this coming week, and they want an express groom, but also she wants to bathe the dog at home.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, look, I went along with it. I'm going to say, you know, that can affect my result. And she's bringing the dog to me because she wants a better result. And then she's sabotaging my ability to get the best result by doing the coat prep herself. So we're going to work it out. But not only that, she's going to wait in the parking lot while I do the dog. And this is because she had bad experience.
Yeah, you got to respect that a little bit. I mean,
that's right. That's why I thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to honor her parameters once or twice, and then we'll see how we might adjust it more towards my parameters, right?
Right, right.
But she doesn't want the dogs not to be in a cage, not even 1 foot.
Well, that's the thing. God. If you're going to do express grooming and you're going to do it under the guise of one dog, one groom, start to finish, because that's what I kind of would assume that she wants to do, but I'm not positive of that for this particular grooming shop. So I would call that express grooming, but there's a variety of express grooming. Express grooming could just mean you get the dog out in 2 hours and have nothing else to do with how the process goes. So you've got to kind of decide what it is you want to do. And if in fact you're going to go to all express grooming, then you should take a day's income, what you would normally make from a whole entire day, divided by how many dogs you think you'll be able to do start to finish one after another, which I can tell you from experience is not as many as you would think. Then you've got to figure out what each of those dogs is going to cost and see if it's worthwhile for you to go to that kind of a grooming system. Sometimes it's better for people who have multiple groomers in a shop that can then set one groomer aside to do the express grooming, and then the other grooming shop facility will run as it normally does. Then maybe you can work it out with a little more reasonable price. But if you're going to do just express grooming, realize it is an expensive service.
I do express grooming in the shop, but I don't do total express grooming. I would go crazy. I would absolutely go crazy. All that comings and goings, I can do straight through. We also have straight through, but I time it with my day. So I kind of find a slot in my day. It might be 11 o'clock and I know all the other dogs are going to have been bathed and I have had time to finish one or two, and then there's a slot where we could do a dog in an hour, you know, or I can just do a, we'll call you as soon as he's done groom. And that doesn't promise straight through. We'll just expedite, okay? Expedited shipping.
Yeah.
That means we'll scurry around a little bit and look speedy. And hey, let me have him then right now. Here, Yvonne.
One of the things to consider if you're going to go to an express grooming situation is, what do you do if that person doesn't show, cancels or doesn't show? Then you're stuck with 2 hours or an hour and a half or an hour or whatever you've blocked off for that particular groom with nothing to do and no income either. And I always do a happy dance when that happens to me. But for a lot of people, that's not a good situation to put yourself in. So you have to consider that too. All right, Barbara, let's take a quick break and then go back to school with our definition du jour. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution Shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
This week's definition du jour, as always brought to you by Show Season, is sphereolite.
Spherulites, make it easy, make it easy. Okay, so spherulites came up in a question from one of our podsters. The groomer asks, has Verbrack shampoo reformulated recently? Because she remembers reading something where it was taken off the market because there was found to be cancerous ingredients in the spherulites. What's that? So I looked around and first I said, well, what's a spherulite? So a spherulite is a molecular structure that's designed, engineered so that it is kind of an onion-shaped molecule that can hold another substance. So it's used for delay release and a lot of medications and stuff like that.
Is it part of encapsulating?
Micro-encapsulating liposome type thing, okay? A spherulite has a particular crystalline type structure. You could think of it also as liquid crystals that are holding, delivering an ingredient. It's a delivery agent, you might say. It delivers a sustained release. Well, I don't think that was the problem. So they're non-toxic. So spherulites are non-toxic. They're not known to have anything related to cancer. I looked through a whole bunch of safety data sheets that were of products that contain spherulites, especially Verbrack products, and I found no mention, no cancer concerns related to the spherulites. The safety data sheets did tell me a little bit about some concerns of some other ingredients, but it looks like they're clean, safe. They're not like beads, those little plastic beads that were popular as exfoliating agents in some human shampoos. They had to discontinue those because they were discovering those little plastic beads will never break down in the universe, and they started showing up in the ocean. Okay? So that's a fad that fell out.
Yeah, thank goodness. We don't need more crap floating around.
So spherulites are not that. Okay, they're not plastic, they're not hazardous to our health. But the reason that the Verbrack products were unavailable for a while in its history, it was back in 2013, Verbrack pulled their products from California because DEA, diethylamine, was listed in the California Proposition 65. 900 toxic ingredients that have been known to cause cancer list. And in California, if you have one of those ingredients in your product, you have to have a cancer warning also on your label.
That's kind of an off-putting thing.
It's an off-putting thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hello, just for you to know that there's something in here that's known to cause cancer.
Such a blanket statement.
I know it. And it was about the DEA. And DEA is an ingredient that, well, wait a minute. Let me find my dang note. Diethanolamine is a naturally occurring fatty acid derived from plants. It has been used for decades as an agent to boost foaming, stability, and add viscosity to hundreds of shampoo, cosmetic, and consumer products. That was a statement from Virbac in a press release following their removal of their products from California. So then they said, the Virbac press release said, recent changes in California's Proposition 65, which was the addition of diethylamine to that list, will have a short-term effect on the availability of select Virbac dermatology products for sale in California, effective June 22nd, 2013. Well, they did that. They reformulated. They got the DEA. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look at a current list, but I trust that they reformulated and then they went back on the market, but it was not the liposomes.
Okay.
I mean, not the spherulites. Our groomer wanted to know what was my verdict. I tend to trust this Virbac company. They are innovative. They do have new solutions, but the big difference in their episodes oatmeal shampoo is that they have this extended release feature. So that medicated shampoo keeps on giving.
And it's a good shampoo. I've used it a lot.
And yes, and it's been used without incident a lot by many veterinarians. It's trusted by veterinarians, especially when there's itching related to allergic reactions kind of stuff. So anyway, this is not new news. It is not recent news. This is rehashed, recirculated, old news. We're fine.
Okay.
If your vet wants you to use Episoothe or you choose to use it yourself, I think it's a good choice.
Cool. Okay? All right, moving on. Our definition du jour, as you know, brought to you by Show Season. If you guys are interested in that speed dry shampoo, speed dry spray, or speed dry additive that we talked about earlier in the show, you can find those products and all their information at showseasongrooming.com. Or if you'd like to get set up with them with a wholesale account, you can give them a call, 678-382-0218. Or if you happen to already be set up with them, you can email your order directly to them. Also, as you guys know, you can find them at many distributors, including Cascade Grooming Supply and Groomers Mart. Another little break, and then we're coming back to our At the Table segment, which I've been trying to do for 3 weeks. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Barbara, I bought a stool.
Oh, good, good. Tell me.
Okay, well, I decided that trying to be John Wayne and muscle my way through the deterioration of my ankles is not the right way to go. It's right for some things to be John Wayne and to not cry or to do whatever, but in this case, muscling through this is actually going to hasten the deterioration in my ankle. So I thought I better get a stool. But last time when I had knee surgery and I tried the stool, all I did was move the stupid stool around in the trailer. I just didn't find it useful. So I think that the big difference in this stool and all of the stools that I've tried to use previously is it has a really wide range of adjustment. I got it off of Amazon. It's about $65 and it's a hydraulic stool and it goes down really low and it goes up really high. Now, I don't know at $65 how long it's going to last, but I didn't really want to get an expensive stool without knowing whether I would enjoy using it or not. So here's the thing. It does not have rollers on it. The stools with rollers are bad for me because I have no room to roll around and it just makes it more unstable. So I got a stool without rollers. So it's not an actual grooming stool because all the grooming stools pretty much have rollers on the bottom. It's a solid base. It's hydraulic. It has a round seat because I couldn't find one with a saddle seat and I wasn't sure how much difference it makes to have a saddle seat. Have you used the round versus saddle seat?
I have both in my shop.
And?
I generally gravitate towards the saddle seat, and that's what I have at my styling table. In my back room with a big dog drawing table, I use, I think it's an old music stool.
And so it doesn't adjust, right?
It unscrews and adjusts. No, I have two flat seats stools back there because sometimes if I want to sit down, then I want Yvonne to sit down too, so that we're both at the same level.
You know? That makes sense. Yeah.
So yeah, and I've been doing a little bit more standing. I've been trying to just because ideally I think there needs to be both.
I think you're right.
And so I've been trying to do a little bit more standing, just because I'm worried a little bit about my circulation. But, you know, like, is it worth it? Well, I do think that the saddle seat is better if you have back problems, which I do.
So I was thinking, as I've sat on the saddle seat one before, and for me, I felt like it made me tip forward a little bit, whereas the round seat, because it's forcing my legs to, forcing me not to be splayed out, that I sit more upright with the round seat. But I don't know that for sure because I haven't really tried grooming in a saddle seat one. But I know that the round one doesn't seem very awkward. I did notice that it soaked up a little water. So I might have to get a cover for it because it's very humid in the trailer. And I think the foam part of the seat might have soaked up a little bit of the moisture in the air. But I do have a couple questions. One of the questions is when you're going from standing to sitting, you got to put your stuff in different places. Like I have a scissor rack up on top. I can't reach from the chair. Mm-hmm. So now I've got to did you have to reorganize your stuff so that it's reachable from sitting? Because I'm finding a lot of inconvenience in that. All of my switches for my dryer and stuff, I have to stand up to reach because they're near the ceiling. That's another thing. I mean, but like you said, getting up and down, that's not such a bad thing, right?
Yes. Getting up and down is actually a key to health.
Okay.
But, you know, not constantly getting up and down, but in a combination of sitting and standing. Now, you already have your walking to their house and getting the dog and coming back. That's got to count. You know, okay. I count my walking to the counter and taking care of people. That's standing and activity time. But you don't want to sit down all of the time. Just got to find a balance there. And I'm sure that you will. And you'll probably make some adjustments.
Okay.
What you don't want to have happen is that you'll use it for a little while and then put it aside and say, what the fuck, I'm just standing here. Don't do that. I would rather see you make some adjustments. Boy, I speaking of adjustments, I've got a new table, a new little table. And I, because I'm sitting, I have some things that are out of my reach too. But now I have this little table and it's like 12 inches and you can extend it out to 20 inches. And it's on legs that you can adjust the height, three different heights. And it's got a cup holder and it's got a phone holder. And I can set that up kind of semi behind me to my right and behind me. And I can put some things that I don't want to stack up on my table, like the quick stop and the nail cutting, all my little nail cutting things, my Dremel, my clippers, and my quick stop. They're all together on the table that a dog can't kick it off.
Okay? Right, right.
And I don't have to, and I don't have to reach for that. And I can also use this little table to take video from my phone. And we're going to be able to do some little live shot video stuff or whatever, our YouTube video stuff, shortly, as soon as I get over my freaking out about how fucking fat I am on screen.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get past that. I can reach all of my drawers, right? I just have to turn around to reach my drawers. That's a good and a bad thing, because while I was turning around to reach my drawers, I realized that thing spins like, oh, it's like a top. And I started spinning myself in the trailer on the seat. And I realized why I annoy my hairdresser so much when I spin in her chairs, because I could lose 10 minutes spinning in my chair. I got to not do that. I got to really somehow focus in on the grooming and not sit there and spin on the chair, because that is really fun. I dig that. So you mentioned nail trimming.
You're a trip. My God, Susie.
You mentioned nail trimming. Do you stand up when you trim the nails? Do you sit down when you trim the nails? Do you do it on an individual dog basis? How do you work that part of it? Because I'm finding myself conflicted there. Do I try to relearn to do it sitting down, or do I just go to my normal standing up position to do my nail trims?
Well, I think for now you should stand up. I think that's a good stand-up activity. I think that sometimes you have better control over the animal when you're standing up. I have some dogs that I do it all sitting down, but if I get serious...
Okay, that answers the question.
Yeah.
Then as I'm working on these dogs, I've got my ability to adjust my table and the ability to adjust this really wide-ranging stool that I got. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty much able to do like low dogs and then the high part of the dogs, but the bigger doodles, I still can't do those sitting down because they just are too tall for my table. My table doesn't go all the way down. And if my table went all the way down, I would have a little bit better success. So I'm always thinking that I'm going to have to stand up for some of that as well. The only other thing that I have a problem with that I don't know if you can help me with or not is I have no freaking idea what to do with the stool when I'm driving.
Oh, you're going to have to tether it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where, though. I have a Hanvee table. I can't really tether it to the base. I'll have to crawl on the ground to do that, which maybe that's going to be it. I could tie the top off, but it could then, if I hit a bump, maybe it'll pull the seat off. I don't know. I mean, it's a challenge. I could lay it down, but then it'll roll back and forth this way.
No, you don't want that. No. It's got to be secured in some sort of a way. There's got to be some kind of a strapping mechanism that is out there that I don't know anything about because I'm a girl.
I could go
to Harbor Freight, but don't get high before you go to Harbor Freight. I love Harbor Freight.
I could certainly have my husband drill holes into my wall and make a brat, you know, make it so that I can bungee it somewhere. But I hate drilling holes, and it just makes things leak and rot and stuff like that. But I'll look at that. That might be my solution in the long run, I suppose. Let's see how our timing is. Oh, we just hit an hour.
Oh, well, look at us.
We're so good, Barbara. We have talked for a whole hour and we didn't even realize it. I guess we could probably say that this show is done for this week and that we will come back and do it again next week. What do you think?
About
ending the show. I know.
You can't just ask me what you think. I got stacks up, you know.
Okay.
Let me rephrase it.
What do you think about having done 200 shows?
Oh my God, I am just awed. I am awed by our accomplishment. Who would have thunk?
I know. You know. I'm pleased. I'm just pleased. I want to thank everybody for being here because without you guys, we wouldn't have any listeners. Just wouldn't be the same. Barbara, thank you. Thank you for doing this with me. Thank you for being here this morning. And that's it. Happy grooming, everybody. Let's do it again next week. See you then. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Love y'all.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.